Is this light still working? Is this thing still working? Nothing like a little bit of rain. Screw with your electronics. I think I got an LED on there. This is Independent Librarian Dynamics, Sean Kennedy VI, episode number 732.653.663.398.36.3. And here's Truly, now involved in a pirate radio broadcast in Queen's English from sometime after now. I'm currently inside this handy-dandy car trying to make sure that I can get all my body covered where the rain got me. It's like an idiot, I got caught outside, too far from cover. My belly didn't stand up to it, so I gotta make sure that I get all this moisture off of me before it leads to a rash. As for you, it's, if you're listening to this, you should be aware that you're violating your listener's license agreement, so you stand at risk of losing it even if you listen. But if you turn this off, it's vitally important that this reach you, because you're the one who needs it most. So while I get myself sorted out here, maybe you can light a few candles. Maybe server can protect us. Yeah. I think I got some rain in my mouth. It's hard. Yeah, you wouldn't believe what just happened to me. Right now, I'm a ways out. I'm pretty far out on the fringe. I'm almost in the wasteland. I'm not in trash town anymore. I moved a little bit further east. Whew. This region here isn't even a neighborhood. I was just walking, thinking about other things, and the rain came up. Storm cloud. I had my brelly, my umbrella with me. You always keep an umbrella with you out here, because the rain, with the fallout and all the carcinogens in the rain, well, you gotta be careful, because it's not just rain anymore. So, rain just came on hard and fast. I don't know where it came from, and I threw up my brelly, but that old brelly had so many holes burned in it. It started to leak, and then I could watch the fabric rot away. This is a bad storm. With all the fallout from the bombs and whatnot, and all the pollution laws, well, long since being toast, because nobody cares about the outside. Rain is like a major killer out here. It's not so bad when it hits you, but after a while, sometimes in the bad sessions, like, you get a bad section of black rain, and just, you can feel it burning on your skin. That's why everybody's clothing here has got patches all over it from the freaking rain. Stupid rain. Sounds like a battery acid. Yeah, probably the best way to describe it, like a weak battery acid. Burns holes in everything it touches. I fell asleep once in a car and had a leak in it. I didn't know it was there. It started raining during the night. I woke up in the morning and had a wicked rash. It fell and landed on the inside of my leg. The inside of my leg was just rashed out, bleeding and bled for almost a week. Oh man. Luckily, the good people at Waste Tech have set up enough vending machines with decontamination mitts in them. It's looks like a foil bag, and you tear the top off. Inside is this mitt covered with a powder. You slap your hand inside, you pat your face and your hair and your head, and it's like this really, really super fine dust. neutralizes any of the toxins. It's like an acid-based thing. I don't know how it works, but... stinks like hell. Sometimes they call them corpse gloves. You smell and look like a dead guy after it's all done. It's sickly gray. You gotta watch the weather here, because if you get caught out in the rain, it'll kill you. Especially if you're out in the wasteland and you don't have cover, and you get caught in a rainstorm, it'll soak you right to the skin, it'll rot all your gear off and you die. Not any gear, you're toast. No second chances here. Sometimes if it's a community and there's strangers and it starts to rain, we'll community, you'll get the strangers inside, you know. They know how bad it is. It's a nice way to break the ice. Plus, of course, they're corp cops or shock troops, in which case we like it when it rains because, well, they don't stick around too much. Out here on the fringe, there's... in some ways, it's less tough than the inner city, and in a lot of ways, it's worse. In the inner city, you've got to worry about, well, everybody trying to kill you. And out here, you got to worry about the elements in your environment trying to kill you. So that's a trade-off. In both places, you need some kind of community or gang or group to keep you safe. And out here, you need your kit. Especially if you're a warhawk like me who runs around in the wastelands all the time. Well, as I lay my gear out here, I suppose I should kind of go over what I got. In case any of you want to... I don't know. There's no way to stop it. Maybe you can prepare for it, you know? Man, what's that rain? Metal on this roof is getting pretty thin. See any kind of drops. I think it'll be okay. Yeah, it looks alright. I'll have to keep an eye on that. Going over a kit here, yeah. Number one thing you have to look after is you have to get your hands on some body armor. Body armor allows you to get hit. Being able to take a hit is more important than being able to give a hit. That's the first rule. If you can hit hard, that's great, but if you can't get hit, well, you're done. That reminds me of something, but I can't remember what. Ballistic armor is expensive, more than that everyone wants it, so most of us out here, we keep our vitals protected with sports armor. While the Great Plague was happening and the war was raging, they really cranked up sports, even invented sports. All highly contact stuff, combative stuff. Give them circus and give them bread. Trying to distract us from what was going on. That's the name of the game. Distract them. Keep them busy. So, sports gear was just everywhere. Everyone was involved with sports. And it was like it's crazy. It's like a world of sports crazy. So, at the lowest level on your skin, you'll usually have a t-shirt or some cloth wrapped around you, and then you throw your armor on. In the summer, a lot of people don't even wear. They just make sure the armor's got enough holes in it. Small holes, stop blood force trauma. Bats. I mean, if you get shot, you're done, right? But depending on how. And you dress for the occasion, right? Like, if you're going somewhere and you think it's going to be bad, well, you might want to keep up. For guys like me, always on the move, you pack light, some shoulder guards, a chest plate, stomach protection. I found some old cycle gear, spine protection. Sewed it all into a vest. Threw some hooks on it. Had this for a while. It's kept out okay. Everything's loose and in layers. Loose and in layers. That's the name of the game. I got some baggy old black combats that I put together. I don't know what they make these combat pants out of, but man, they are tough. I guess they were black at some point. Now they're like a gray, mottled white, and the rain's been on them. Sucked all the color out of them. Pop spots. It's like this. Pretty ratty. I like them on their comfy. And I got a cloak I wear over top. I usually keep it cinched up the waist. The base of it has like a drawstring that I tie around like a belt over top of the armor and everything. That's for the sunscreen, right? Because, if the rain doesn't get it, then the sun definitely will. See, my robe's actually made of sunscreen. I got a scarf made of it too, which I keep around my head. A scarf's a combat model. This cloak was made from the stuff they took from the cities. I get a cloak eyeballed often. A lot of people don't know what sunscreen is since it's so dirty and mottled, but works out okay. It's kind of hard to describe, but whenever you're out here, you want to have loosened layers. You make sure you got head protection. You know, of course, nothing beats a good pair of shades. Mirror shades are the best. Everyone's got mirror shades. Just keep the light up. I mean, your eyes will burn in no time if you're outside. You haven't got any kind of light protection for your eyes, you're cooked. I mean, there's all sorts of blind people wandering around here. They don't live very long. You get scad gangs take them, or they wind up in a burn booth somewhere. Jack. Being bad, blind is a pretty bad state of affairs when everyone's out for your head. My best treasures, as well as my boots. I got a set of tanker boots. They use zippers to get them on and off. Need being very fast. See, because whenever you sleep, you gotta strip all this gear off, right? You can never sleep in your clothes. Bad idea. Any toxins you have, your body will try to sweat out, and you sweat into your clothes. It's hard to wash, eh? So most of the time, what we do is we just use the same decontamination mitts and we pat down the inside of our clothes like a talcum powder. Works like a cleaning. Keeps the germs from building up. That powder is good stuff. After you use a glove, any powder that's left in the bag, you try to get some kind of container and store the remaining powder that's in the bag in that container so you got some for powder bathing your clothes and stuff. Works out good. These old tanker boots here, man, they just never die. I don't know anything about them. They've got some writing on the side here. I can't read. Lettering's really blocky. Might be Hebrew. I don't know. They come up to my knee. The zipper's on the side, and they got these pretty nice, some kind of a alloy plating that comes along the front. Breaks up into a knee pad here. When you're out here on the fringes, especially if you're in the wastelands and you're doing any kind of scoping out here, you want to make sure that you got your legs plenty protection, especially if you're running. You never know if you have wiring or fences or steel or whatever, and especially if you're running into any hostiles. I mean, you run into hostiles out here, first thing they do is they take out your legs. If you don't got legs, you can't run. course, I got some riot gloves. I always keep a small satchel on my webbing of rubber gloves. They're everywhere. You can get them from any weight, from any vending machine. But the rubber gloves, you see, you keep handy. And with the fingerless weighted gloves, the riot gloves, they got about 8 ounces of steel shot sewn into the knuckles of the gloves. No fingers on them, so you put on the rubber gloves if you're going to be in an area where you're touching stuff and you're not too sure about whether or not it's safe. You throw the rubber gloves on and you put the weighted gloves over top. That way it serves as kind of an additional barrier. It keeps the rubber intact and also gives you a little bit more of a hit in case you need it. I mean, I can't tell you how many times that saved me. Here. I guess that's pretty much it for what's that's like your underwear. That's what you're always with you. And the next layer, which I've always got with me, you can always tell the Outlanders, man, the Wastelanders, guys on the fringe, they never ever drop their vests. Soldiers have their webbing. It's kind of like our very own webbing. I mean, mine's kind of integrated with my armor. That's how much I wear it. And you know, as long as I got my armor, I got my gear. Just hooks, satchels, places I put stuff on, you know, kind of customized. Everybody's different. Everybody's got their own kind of configuration. But, you know, you talk to 10 different guys, they'll give you 10 different explanations. Man. Oh, I hope I didn't drink any of that rain. If that gets into my throat, man, I'm going to have a sore throat for weeks. It's going to suck. There's a bird through the roof. Where was I? Oh yeah, the webbing. Yeah, mine, I mean, you talk to 10 different guys, you'll get 10 different explanations on what's good, right? You gotta kind of do what's right for you, depending, again, on what you mostly do. Me, I'm a wastelander fringer. I'm always meeting people, so it's beneficial for me to be fighting lightweight and, you know, and pretty much light fighting mode all the time. That's what I need to be. So as per usual, you want to have a good fighting knife. You may have to use it. Now, fighting knife by itself is pretty good, but when you cross that with those weighted gloves, you got a much more impact weapon. Those 8 ounces of steel shot, cross that with my Kukri. I tell you, that's a good job. 18 inches of pain. Intimidation value is pretty high. And of course, bad guys don't get you. Still gotta watch out for water and food. If you can't get the water bags, water from the vending machine, they sell it in these plastic bags. Looks like a medical bag, but if you can't get those, you need to make sure you got a good bunch of straw filters. They, that's like a thick tube, maybe half an inch thick. 10, 12 inches long, I guess. You can find a pool somewhere. You can stick the straw on one end and try to suck on it. It takes a while to get the water up through it, but you can stay alive with it. Works out fine. Of course, running around in the daytime is a bad idea. Too much of a priority target. Everyone could see you, especially if you're, again, in the wasteland. So you try moving around at night. Everybody else is going to be moving around at night, too. It's not that you're hiding, it's just you want to keep a low profile. You never want to be showy or flashy in any way, shape, or form. You make yourself a mark. Everything's low profile. Unless you can back it up. If you can back it up, hey, be as showy as you want. Bug me. Ideally, if you got any night vision gear, that's the bomb. You'll see some of the wastelanders, they'll have, like, you know, blocky things around their necks. You know, usually covered up with their scarves or wear them loose so it covers the NVGs, but they're in high demand. Most of us use LED flashlights. And again, the wastelanders, these red ones. Red light's harder to see in the dark at distance, eh? A white light you can see for miles. The red light fades too fast, so if you're out in an area where you know there might be hostiles, you always use red light. The LEDs are better than bulbs, but they don't burn out and they burn longer. Stack of batteries will keep LEDs going for days. I mean, guys have fallen asleep with the LEDs on, they're still fine for another couple of days. Works pretty good. Again, it's just about everyone carries the gigahertz radios. It's little radios that, like a walkie-talkie, but they broadcast and receive for like 5 kilometers. It's just a tiny thing. They've been around forever. But they're calibrated to different settings, and depending on what community you're in, they'll have like local 5 kilometer little radio stations people broadcast on, or maybe they rebroadcast news, or there'll be like a help channel in case someone's got a problem. Let's do a call out, and who's ever got their radio on will respond if they know, you know, they got community landmarks and stuff, so if they got a problem, they'll know where they are. I keep mine with me, but I mean, I move around so much that I don't know the local call signs. I mean, I know some communities, but not as many as I'd like. So on the back of my armor, I managed to get my hands on a scanner. And what happens is I run the ear mic from the gigahertz set and the ear mic from the scanner to this little mixing pod I made up. Kind of one overlays the other. The scanner's louder. I got a little dial and I can adjust it, but this way I just have my clear phones. I put a clear phone over one ear and I'm good to go. Clear phones are, as a military thing, they used to give them to soldiers, but they were popular in the civilian market. It's, oh man. It's like a headphone, only the back of the headphone that covers you, that would normally cover your ear, is like a mesh. See-through, you can see through it. And you can hear what's going on outside as well. And no one else can hear what's coming through the clear phone. So it looks like you're kind of like wearing this rubber thingy, like a some kind of a strainer over the side of your head. Small one, you know. And it just hooks onto your helmet, or you can wear it underneath your scarf. I got a helmet. I don't usually wear it unless I'm out in the wastelands, but I got a little, I think it's a rappelling helmet, I don't know what it is. It's really tight fitting. And I got an assault mask that I keep as well. For most of the times when I'm lighting, I got head-mounted lights, LEDs, twin LED lights. And with a red filter on them, I put on either side of the helmet, they just snap on. And if I'm going into the wastelands and I'm worried about, it's hard to explain. Like, okay, if I'm in the inner city, I'll generally just have my scarf around my head, right? But if I'm out in the wastelands, I'm doing some scoping, I got the helmet tight, I got the face mask on, and I got the goggles over top of that. And then at night, you just hit the LEDs and it gives you like these two red lights. I mean, it looks pretty badass too, and again, that keeps them back. If you look like you're not an easy mark, then they stay away from you. Plus with the long robes and everything, I suppose it probably keeps them back. But yeah, those long robes, they get tied up pretty good when I'm in, when you're in the city, you tie them up. And when you're in, well, when you're in the city in the daytime, you let them down, but if you think you need to move fast or whatever, I mean, I might even just take off the cape and throw it in my pack, you know. There's no hard and fast rule. It's kind of more so, it's like an art. You gotta learn how to use it. Anyway, the fact is you gotta make sure you got your lighting. So, those clear phones, the scanner, where was the scanner? Yeah, scanner, you see, because quite often there'll be, especially on the wasteland, there'll be frequencies broadcasted out, or there'll be ghost frequencies just bounce around, or old military, you know, down chopper frequencies, or distress calls that are automated from gear that's crashed, and people just go out and try to find the strength and frequency and home in on it so they can get the salvage, right? A lot of valuable stuff, especially in down military craft. Works out well. Thunder crash was a little close. Lightning here is scary. You get a lightning strike on one of these car condos, man, I mean, it'll cook a lot of people and fry even more equipment. This is a good one we got going on here, I'll tell you. Well, if I cut out all of a sudden, you'll know what happened to me. Ooh. See, if I'd have been smart, I'd use the other thing I keep on my webbing here. I keep my spyglass, eh? Scoping. Everybody's got binos or a decent rifle scope that they just keep handy to get a distant look at things. I mean, if you just see, like, a downed chopper in the middle of the desert, I mean, chances are it's a trap. You know, it's... you gotta scope things from all angles. I usually do a pretty wide circle, a quarter mile maybe, around anything I see on the wastelands, and I scope it for a long time before I move in. I've seen all kinds of guys move in on stuff, and I thought, oh, should I move in there? And before you know it, you know, they get taken down, or, you know, teams that lay in wait in the wastelands, or, you know, they got a weird cult or something. I mean, you don't know what's in the wastelands. I mean, it's anybody's ruling in the wastelands. Nobody even knows what's out here. I mean, there's lots of... there's soldiers and cults and chem weapons and all sorts of crap just floating around out here. That's why you gotta keep your shooters with you. Shooters are the auto-injectors. I always got some right on my chest in case I need to get them in a hurry. They're like anti-chem weapon stuff. Atropine, adrenaline. If you got a problem and you think you start feeling tingly or things are going wrong, you jack yourself and then run like hell. Get out of the area. On the inside of my visor on the helmet here, I got a canary vent. Canary vents are maybe about the size of a small coin, a piece of plastic with air vents on it, a little yellow LED. It, I guess it just looks for any kind of carcinogenic gas or chem weapons. All I know is I'm out on the inside. See, it's in kind of up near my top field of view, but if that LED goes off, I mean, like, you can't miss it. It's really bright, you know, because it shines practically in my eye. That's important, you see, because if that goes off, that means the air is toxic and I got to get out of there. You know, in the cities, it's not that big of a deal, even on the fringes, but if you're a wastelander running around like me, you never know what's floating around the air, man. All sorts of particulates. Sometimes in the inner city, they'll go off when the pollution gets heavy. Or, you know, the smog comes in. I mean, the smog comes in, of course, the canary vent's going to go off. But I got a pretty nice hookup here now. Normally in bags and on your webbing, you got some rope, but what I done is I got, I found this heavy fishing reel, you know. I don't know what they used to rule with this thing, but it's about, oh, maybe 8-10 inches across. I hooked it up in the middle of my back with a beaner on it, and you can change this dial, I guess, for how heavy you want the pole to be, so it'll let line out really slowly based on pole. I guess if you were catching, like, some 1,000-pound fish, you need to have it so that it just wouldn't, you know, make the fish tired or whatever. I've never been fishing, whatever, but anyway, I got this heavy reel, and I attached it with no small amount of effort, I might add, to the back of my armor vest here. With the beaner, if I got to get down into a chasm or if there's like a pit or something, I just hook onto the top, and I got it set for my own body weight so that it just lowers me down. I don't bother trying to reel it back up. I just cut it. Get another beaner. Beaners are the little aluminum clamps. You can make them. So you just steel hook with a spring on it so that it closes the hook, or you can just get a make your own steel hook. I mean, kids oftentimes make beaners. Hooks are always just handy to have. But, I mean, if you got to climb up, you can't beat rope, right? So, I only carry about 50 feet of rope, if that. Most of the time, it's spider line down. You don't go down into a hole unless you know there's a way out of it that you don't have to come back up. Otherwise, that may as well be your grave. And my Zippo. Can't remember where I got this Zippo. Zippos are still around. Nice thing about the new Zippos is that they'll burn just about anything. If it's got a fuel, it'll burn alcohol, ethanol, acetone, whatever. If it burns, Zippo will burn it. It's handy. It's good for emergency lighting. Just, it's always good to have fire. And, of course, on the global positioning system, so you have some idea so you can mark stuff. Especially if you're out in the wastelands and you find something in the middle of the day and you're being hunted or whatever, you can't stick around. You just mark it and keep going. It's all about how fast you can go. Now, aside from on the webbing, I got a small pack. And I do mean a small pack, because you got a pack light. You're running around out here. I mean, you never carry more than 15% of your own body weight anyway, otherwise you'll kill yourself. Some soldiers were altered to be able to carry more, but even still, I mean, you gotta pack light, man. You gotta... Man, let's back up down. My pack, I keep a very large blanket. This one's like a thick towel wool. I don't know what it is. It's like a... like a towel, but it's made of wool. If it gets wet, it's still warm. You know, if it gets wet, I can't use it, but that's one of the nice things about wool. But it's absorbent, eh? So, I mean, it can dry me off. Some people have, like, very thin sleeping bags, but, I mean, you don't want a sleeping bag, man. It'll be a body bag. You can't move. You get jumped in the middle of the night, you're done. To put all this webbing together, I keep a sewing kit, nail needles. We take a nail and bend the end and kind of pound it flat. Kids make them. It's just for like, working with armor, stitching stuff. In case you need to, works like a, it does a job a needle can't do. Spider line is the thread of choice. It's like the world's toughest fishing line. Works pretty good. Any of the scrap packs you get from the vending machines, of course, are loaded with advertising. I mean, they got, you know, half of the people put in samples. So scrap packs, they got like one decent meal. Well, something that's a half decent portion, and then everything else is a bunch of little things that just advertise the product, you know. Like 1/10 of a chocolate bar or something. So the trick is when you get that scrap bag, you tear it open and you break it down so that you can carry it more easily. Most of the stuff that's in there is crap. I mean, you leave the chocolate bars, that's useless. You leave anything that, you know, you're not going to be able to keep. You usually got an instant coffee or some kind of a speed in there. That comes with. You need that. And of course, you take whatever, you know, solid food they got in there. And if it is a fluid of any type, that's coming along. Sometimes you get lucky and have scrap bags. It's like, they'll get, like, synthetic juices. And sometimes you'll get water. It's pretty nice when you get water. I remember kids seeing them. You know, they all go get their scrap packs and then they trade back and forth. It's always good to have a couple of crack sticks in there. CPU stacks overclocked with a connection on it so that, you know, you got a chance to cut through some encryption. Any of the military stuff out here that might be crashed, maybe a little bit older, a couple of crack sticks might be able to break the codes. Always handy to have. Again, Wastelander tool. You don't even think about carrying stuff like that near the arcs. They bust you with crack sticks, you're gone. Get a pump burner. A pump burner's it's like a butane torch, but like the Zippo, it's made to run on just about anything that'll burn. You fill it up, and then it's got a little pump built into it, so you pump it until you can't pump it anymore, and then you light it using usually a Zippo, and it gives you a hot blue flame. Some guys are artists with these things, man. They can solder with them. They can do whatever. It's pretty handy. But it's good to, in a tight place, you've got to heat up some metal, or you'd be surprised. It's always good just to have that kind of heat. Usually a tin of some kind of fuel, if you can get it. And your tools. Some guys keep their tools on their webbing. I kind of drift back and forth. If I'm going wasteland, then yeah, I'll switch up my webbing. But if I'm inner city or running around just the fringe, I'll keep them in my bag. My essentials, I mean, everyone's got different sets of tools they want to use, but mine are the wire cutters, set of vice grippers. Wire cutters are good because, you know, I mean, you cut anything with it. I mean, you can break into old rocket pods or whatever, get some valuable wiring. It's just like your all-purpose scissors, baby. The vice grippers, of course, because, well, you're going to buckle onto something. And you got to pry. I mean, your hands get tired, especially if you've been humping all day. Vice grippers are the bomb. You can do first aid with them, too. They work like a clamp in case you got to tie something off. That's pretty desperate. Adjustable wrenches. Always got one. Decent size. See, you can't carry too much. You gotta remember, it's only one wire cutter, one vice gripper, one adjustable wrench. You know, a multi-bit screwer, so you got, you know, whatever you need to get into any kind of electronics you find. I'm very lucky. I got a titanium pry bar. Lightweight titanium. This thing, if I were throwing a burn boot, I'd probably get $50 for it. But I wouldn't part with this thing for the world. Makeshift weapon in an emergency, you can't go wrong with a crowbar, man. These things rule. Of course, on my quick draw, I used to have my umbrella. Nice big ass umbrella. Yeah, everybody packs umbrellas here. You don't go outside, you don't go anywhere without an umbrella. Umbrellas save your life. Maybe you even think there's going to be rain, you drop that umbrella up. Lots of guys on rain watching. They'll start hitting alarms and that. If they think some guys are good, they can really tell, like from a crow's nest position. They'll start banging on these big metal gongs they made to warn the rain's coming and people just take cover. Surprising what some people can tell just from looking at the sky through a pair of spy glasses. I was never very good at that. But it works down okay. Gotta have your umbrella. I guess that's about it. I mean, I try to keep it as light as I can. You know, I usually try to keep some extra goods for trading, you know, a flask of booze, some bugweed. That's always healthy with the server monks, some frankincense, that always goes over good. I mean, it's kind of about personality, what you know. And of course, with me, I always keep data. That's my job, right? Got my tablet, that goes without saying. Tablet goes on my webbing. That's always with me. Keep it in a light sheath. I actually got a hard pack case for it. That's where I keep all of my... I got a stockpile where I keep my actual physical books. But I would never carry that around with me. I mean, they're too big, so I got a trusted place I leave it. Scan all the data and carried around with me on my tablet, issued out to people as they needed, you know. Technical manuals just transferred to the tablet. Some of the books I got had to be destroyed. I mean, a lot of them come from these irradiated libraries. People bring me this stuff, and the microamp readings just go through the roof, eh? You sit there and, you know, I'm just looking at this. Something. I remember I got this one book. It was some kind of a Soviet manual on some kind of monitoring equipment. It was related with the old school echelon stuff before they went to the next gen. But, I mean, I just looked at this thing and my canary vents started to go nuts, you know. Canary vents do the radiation too, eh? I don't know if I mentioned that, dude. You always want to keep five or six of those things going. But, I mean, a book that would kill you. But, again, too, I guess if you didn't have the knowledge, it would kill you. So I threw on as much shielding as I could and scanned it and then destroyed it. What do you got to do? You can't let the knowledge die. Some librarians, that's all I do. I just work with toxic books. It's amazing. Supreme sense of sacrifice they have. I want to help people, don't get me wrong, but depending on my mood, depends how much danger I'll put myself in. This is quite a storm. Hope Carcass is okay out in that. That's a funny story. I should tell you that story. See, I wander out in the wastelands to, well, find scrap, but more than that, I'm trying to find books, any data, information, anything I can scratch. That's why I carry the crack sticks in case I come across, well, once in a while, I might come across like a downed spycraft or intelligence gathering equipment, so I gotta get into it, see what information's there. Because quite often they'll have intel from a certain time, and from that we can try to keep accurate records. There is a network of librarians. We do share information between each other, but I ain't telling you nothing about that. But we're not going to let the history die. We're working on it. Don't you worry. Anyway, this one time I'm out and I was in this, city, I guess, a smaller town, I mean, but it was still, there's lots of concrete, arcades and stuff, cars everywhere. I mean, there's lots of waste zombies in these regions. When you're out in the wastelands, I was pretty far out. I got the mark somewhere, but I won't tell you where it is. Waste zombies are folks who've just been hit with the fallout and the brain damaging, a lot of the toxins and germ warfare and whatnot, it's like a neurotoxin. So the plague also, I mean, you don't really know, you just see these people who, I don't know, maybe it's like they're genetically malformed or something, it's almost like they've got some kind of weird disease, and they don't speak properly, they just slur and they run around and go insane, and it's bizarre, it's twisted, it's like bag people or something, I don't know what to call them, but they're very dangerous, they're usually carrying all kinds of disease, you don't get near them. Zombies is just a term for them, they're not actually, you know, dead people walking around, but they may as well be. Anyway, they're a threat when you're out in your wastelands. I mean, you'll go across the wastelands, this void, desert, nothing, dunes, burned out highways, whatever. This is away from the autobahns now, right? The Plesteel autobahns. This is on the old streets. And you can tell from the old streetlights and stuff, if you get close and you'll see this city, this town, you know. So anyway, I'd been humping for a couple of days. And I've been moving pretty good for the better part of the night. hunkered down. It was a cloudy day. I couldn't sleep. Besides, I didn't have enough cover, so I was going to move into the city to get a better rest during the day. But it's kind of precarious, because now you know there's people around, right? You got to be careful where you crash, especially in the wasteland. So I popped a couple boosters and figured I'd keep going. Cloud cover was good. So I got up and headed in. The city was pretty run down, lots of collapsed walls, looked like a place had been shelled. You know, something had happened here. There'd been some kind of an incident, probably one of the terrorist movements or whatever, but I mean, there's obviously some kind of a old battle here, nothing fresh. I was hoping maybe I could find some, if I was lucky, I might find some guns, but it's pretty unlikely. So maybe some burned out equipment. So the place was kind of deployed. There was no zombies walking around, and nothing, you know. I mean, that's even worse sometimes. It's better when you see the zombies, because that way you know that there's, you know, life, there's movement, even though it's, you know, diseased and sick. I mean, at least there's something, but when there's nothing there, nothing feels more like a trap than walking into a dead zone. There was a light breeze, picking up the smell of the dust, the concrete dust, walking in. When we're walking through abandoned towns like that, that's why I'm glad I got these tanker boots, because they got a softer sole on them. And everything echoes, you know, as you're walking along, and if you're not careful, you're moving over steel, I mean, you may as well just send off a flare, you know, I mean, because it just echoes and echoes and echoes and echoes. So the wind was blowing along, and I noticed one of the buildings was pretty heavily damaged, eh? I saw a tail fin sticking up, and I figured, oh yeah, okay, it's a down plane. So I thought, hey, cool. And it was burned. So I had no idea what it was exactly, but I got closer and it looked like a military craft, and sure enough it was. And I was like, pay dirt. Because of the way the tail was, I knew it was a transport aircraft, which means that transporting goods. If it's transporting goods, that means there might still be some goods there. So as carefully as I could, I made my way in. Almost everything was burned. There'd been a fire and everything was toast. I mean, I'm walking around in jet black and everything's covered in ash. You know, I'm sweeping back and forth. There's no light. It's dark everywhere, and I just got my LEDs on, right? So I'm sweeping back and forth. And I mean, everything's just this red shade of black. So I'm going along and I see this barrel. I mean, it was the only discernible shape as a barrel, so I thought I'd go check it out. And I thought it, you know, be an oil keg drum or some fuel or something like that. And I didn't know what it was. Yeah, it was like the size of an oil barrel, but it was full. There was something in it, you know. And it was a seal. And I'm like, it wasn't a metal seal. It wasn't like a puncture, like you hook a hose up to it. It was something that was meant to be cracked, so I was looking at it. Of course, all the instructions are burned off. There's just this one, when I rolled it, there's one area that was face down that didn't get burned. The lettering was still on there. It was olive drab, so, you know, I mean, it's military again. Since it was military, I knew it had value, so I stood the barrel up, scraped off an area, you know. There's a pin on the side to deploy it. And when I stood the barrel up, the olive drab, there's some lettering there. C4R dash C dot A dot S dot, bright yellow stenciling. But of course, no explanation of what that was, because everything else was burned. So I thought maybe it was some kind of explosive or something, you know. If so, great. I mean, that's that's valuable if you can find it. So there's a rapid deployment lever on the top of the barrel. I had no idea what it was, but it was meant for people to deploy. I mean, it wasn't a bomb, so I pulled the lever, you know. What does this lever do? Click. Well, I pulled it. And, off comes the lid. No problem. I look inside, and there's... It looks like a plastic bag, but it's got this... you know, another handle in the middle of the plastic bag, and the plastic bag is attached to the insides of the barrel, like another lid. You know what I mean? And it just, again, had a big lettering, you know, on it to activate C4R-C.A.S. you know, pull lever, stand back. I stood there for a long time trying to figure out what was going on. It was just a clear fluid in a bag. I had no idea what it was. You know, I looked at it. It didn't look like a bomb. I had no idea what this thing was. And there's no way I can carry it, right? So what do you do? You know. So, like an idiot, I pull it. You know, I pull on this handle, and all it was a... It was like a tearing mechanism that ripped the fluid in the bag and allowed it to dump on what was ever underneath it. So it was like a combined mixture thing. I thought it was some kind of, you know, maybe it was a decontamination thing or something. I had no idea. But I pulled it, and the minute I did, there's this steam, you know, started coming out of the barrel. So I stand back. You know, I'm way back now. I see cover now, and I'm looking at my vent LED, and I'm waiting for the toxin light to go off, and nothing happened, you know. I'm just straining, you know, you can hear the hiss and the echo of it. And, after I waited a while, I was gonna get up and come closer, and I heard this sound. I will never forget that sound. It sounded like this baby's cry mixed with a howl. It was just this twisted noise, rending flesh. It was an unreal sound. And the barrel moved and knocked over on its side. Well, that was it for me. I'm out of there. I turned tail and I started to haul. But the thing is, when you're scared, you gotta be careful, especially when you're running in a burned out building. You wind up hooking yourself on some rebar, getting injured. So I started to run. The shadows were there. The wind had picked up. But it was a dark day. The minute I got outside, I took to the streets. I was expecting, you know, I didn't know what to see. If there'd have been a zombie out there, I would have been happy. If there's nothing, I just started to go. Hauling down this street, you know, with the dust. I was breathing hard. Glad that vent light wasn't going off, because if there'd been anything toxic in that air, man, was I hauling. I got maybe 200-300 feet away, and then I heard it echoing through the silence. I heard the sound of that barrel being moved, and then the most unreal sound of something big moving very, very fast. I mean, very fast. It sounded unmistakable sound of nails hitting concrete. Whatever it was that was inside that barrel got alive and was coming after me. And it was moving. It was flanking me. It was moving off to an angle. I couldn't see it, and I wasn't trying hard to look, so I ducked down an alley. I don't know the city. I get down to the end of the alleyway, you know. I was breathing hard, straining to hear, and I could hear the sounds of those nails, you know, shifting. So I stop. Pulled my blade and got ready to deal with whatever might come down the alley. I could go back out the front, but, I mean, if it didn't know I ducked down here, then I would have just given away my position, right? So I hunkered down, dropped my bag, and got ready to get it on. I don't know what was going to come down that alleyway, but whatever it was going to get some. And that was until it came into the alleyway, and then I thought, well, this is how I die. The first time I ever saw any animal that size, it was a dog, sort of. Massive thing. Not so much tall, just wide, stocky. Maybe it was only about 3 feet to the shoulder, but it looked like 2 feet thick. It's like a... just this huge gaping mouth. I can't remember what kind of dog I'd ever seen that looked like that, but it was just muscle mutated with this thick, coarse hair. Short, but it was coarse. And it starts coming down the alleyway, you know, looking at me. And I can see that one of its eyes has been augmented somehow, and it's hooking into... he's got streamlined tubing that's going down into his neck and netting. I mean, it's obviously some kind of a combat unit. I'd heard of them, you know, Borg dogs or whatever. See, during the times of the war, robots were expensive. And since, you know, animals had no rights, they started doing augmentation testing, where they took animals and instead of making a robot from scratch, they'd use one of nature's creatures, and then turned into a combat creature, so they started breeding these dogs. Canine assault system. That's when I figured out what it was. The C4R was the designation of the type, and CAS was a canine assault system. So I'm like, great. They stopped using them because, well, I mean, the cost was high. I couldn't even tell you why they stopped. This thing was some kind of a terror in front of me. Looked right at me. And then it, we must have stood there for about a lifetime. Me looking at this, robot monstrous dog. Its hair looked like needles. And, him looking at me. So I said the only thing I could think to say, which at the time was, good dog. And he started to wag his tail. And that's when I started to put it together. I didn't know it. I confirmed it later, but see, when I activated it, whatever, you know, activates one of these dogs. When I say activate, see, what they do is they would take these dogs, they genetically breed them, they augment them. I found out later, some research on it, but they'd breed the dogs, and then they'd augment them with biometrics and cybernetics and whatever to enhance the dog's capabilities. Dogs only live about 4 years anyway, but I mean, on the battlefield, they had a lifespan of about, you know, 35, 40 minutes, depending on combat scenarios. But whoever activates the dog, which you're supposed to do, is you're supposed to stick your head over top of the barrel, you see, and the first person that the dog sees becomes identified with master. See, they take the dogs and they like freeze dry them or something. I don't know what they do. They genetically treat them so that the dog's like in stasis inside these barrels. Because if the dog only lives like 4 years, you gotta ship it and you don't need to feed it. So you put it in this weird stasis system. You rip this bag falls on it, breaks the dog out of stasis, I guess, or whatever. I don't know the chemistry behind it. It was all top secret. And the dog's activated, you know, I mean, the thing's almost more machine than animal. First person it sees, it calls master, and that's it. Everything after that is all pre-programmed. I mean, all the sit, stay, commands, attack, kill, all that good stuff. Of course, I didn't know that. So, at the time, I just wanted to get out of that alleyway alive, so I said sit, which it did. As slowly, as wide as I could, moved around that creature. Got a good look at him. Realized this was not the animal I wanted to mess with. And I took off running. I don't think I've ever run so hard in my life. I was running really hard. stupidly hard at. I mean, I was so scared at the time. I'd forgotten the bag. My bag. I'd left that in the alley. Kukri in hand, and I was just hauling. Made it a little bit further. I don't know how many blocks I went. I heard another sound, so I ducked off to the side, eh? But I ducked the wrong way. It's a building. I figured if I went into a building, I'd have a bit better chance, but the city wasn't uninhabited. Probably been in some kind of a bank at some point. Banks are good structures to try to hide in or set up shop, because they usually got thick walls, concrete. Especially if they were built during the times of the riots and that. I mean, they really built banks like they were Fort Knox. So I run in to this bank. So I was wondering where all the zombies had got to, and Mad Dog of an Englishman standing in the noonday sun. The zombies weren't that fried. They didn't know. They knew to get out of the daytime, so they were just setting up to take refuge inside of this bank. There's 12 of them, maybe 3 girls. Some twist at these ones. They'd had some body augmentation done. They weren't spiders by any stretch, but they'd had limb extensions and, you know, your typical wasteland gang. All gangly and hair rotting out of their heads and teeth falling out. And open sores and long rag-wrapped pieces of steel. In comes me in my prime pristine gear, every inch of me glistening with equipment they want. And they got nothing to lose and everything to gain. I must have looked like a gift from God. And I got 12 of these desperate people looking at me. And I was in trouble. I mean, I was in bad, bad trouble. I mean, they were probably just as surprised to see me as I was to see them. My immediate thought was just get the heck out of there, but I turn around and of course there's 2 more blocking the door, so now I got 14. There's a guard sentry who no doubt was not doing their job when I charged in. And they start making the circle. I'm thinking to myself that I'm not having a very good day. The kukri in one hand, I reach back and I pull my secondary blade. It's like a long ice pick thing. I got that in a dagger grip, and the kukri in the other hand, swaying back and forth. I said something, I don't remember what I said. I said, I just want to get out of here, but they don't want it. You know, they're gonna kill me. They're probably gonna eat most of my flesh, take all my kit, and split it amongst themselves. For people who got open sores and very primitive weapons, when they look 90% dead, they can move really fast. This one woman, I looked at her, 1 second she was like 10 feet away. I glanced at the rest of the group and she was on me in seconds, man. Like it was a wink of an eye. She came out of nowhere. I mean, her only job was to knock me down. She came in low, hit me on the side of my knees. I topple, and after that, it's all about the dog pile, you know. I felt the first blade cut me, just in my leg, but the hard pack case of my tablet stopped it. You know, I just felt the hit. It felt like a hammer blow. Somebody tried to make a really good hack for that leg. Legs are the first to go. Second one came in over the top, but I had the helmet on, of course, so it took the hit, and I was in trouble. And there was no sound. There was a pause. This desperate pause. And the weight that was on top of me, the zombies on top of me, were gone. Just gone. That was it. That dog I'd been so afraid of, went right over top of me and took two of them off of me just like that. It was nothing. He put that big jaw of his around that woman's hips, snapped them. She fell apart like a starfish, screaming. Her blood, this deep crimson, almost black, squirting out of her. She almost looked like a whale. I tried to move in on the dog. One of the guys, he swung this huge pike-looking thing. It was like a pole with a piece of metal tied to the end, wire and fabric. The dog just caught it in his mouth and snapped it and twisted it in. I mean, that guy, I don't even know what happened. The guy was just down. The dog was using everything that's built. I mean, the dog was a killing machine. It was a biologically designed killing machine. By the time I got my head straight from that blow, I mean, there's 14 dead zombies around me, and this dog is just covered in, the crap that these guys bleed, and I'm staring at the dog, wondering what the hell is going to go on, because I still don't know that it's, I haven't put it together. And it's looking at me. It's looking around. It wasn't looking at me to make sure that, to eat me. It was looking at me to make sure I'm okay, and then it's looking for other targets. So it worked before, so I said sit, be me being slow to learn. Of course it sits, still looking around. And I try to make my way back out the door, but when I did, that's when I saw that's when I saw my bag. He picked up the bag at the alleyway and dragged along with me because he knew it was my kit. That's when it came into play. I'm like, why would this dog bring my gear? And I figured it out. I gave him a few commands. He responded, and we decided it would be a good idea for him to get out of there. I made sure my kit was okay, and he drank as much of the blood as he could. He'd been biomagically altered. I mean, that's like water to him, so he drinks as much of it as he can, and still dripping from the crap. We took off out of there. I didn't know how big it was, but I never went back. See, I always thought that in glyph, in the Servomon glyph, C4RCAS looks like the word carcass. So that's why I got his name. And he stays with me. I can't make him come inside the car. I mean, sometimes I think he doesn't listen to me too much anymore. See, in the rains, he's been altered. He can handle the rain. He can handle the fallout. He can handle anything. That dog can breathe anything. Sometimes the machine side of him. He's my dog. I mean, I care about it, But I can't forget it's a weapon. It's a biologically engineered killing machine, Sometimes I get terrified of it. He only makes noise when, if I go indoors and he's with me, he'll watch, and if somebody's doing something, he may only softly growl, but I've never really heard him bark. The only ever sound I ever hear him make is a soft growl, which is pretty low, and you can hear it. You almost feel it before you hear it. And if, he's real sensitive to my voice, if I'm getting agitated or whatever and he's nearby, he may growl a little bit, but never barks. And if he's going to attack, he never makes a sound, not one sound. No barking, no growling, no snarling. If he's going to go kill, he's just, this mass of steel and flesh. No doubt right now he's outside watching his car, making sure no one comes near it. Sounds like the rain slowed down. Yeah, the rain's slowing down. That's good. I should keep moving. Listen, if you can't change what's happening, if I'm not telling you anything, get ready for the future, okay? Get ready for this. Remember what I'm telling you. You might be able to use it. And tell other people you know about it. Okay? I've seen way too many waste zombies out here. I've seen way too many people just get eaten. You gotta be ready, or you're just more meat. This is Independent Librarian Dynamic, Sean Kennedy VI. Broadcasting from this car, which I took refuge in. Hoping that all my electronics still work, which I still haven't checked, but listen, please.